This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, May 28th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. If you're like a lot of people who have been working remotely during the pandemic, nearly all of your meetings have probably been held via video call. It can feel like you're constantly staring at your coworkers' faces on a screen, even when a voice call would have worked just as well. On today's episode, our personal tech columnist Joanna Stern is putting her foot down. She'll be here to explain why too many video calls is a bad thing, scientifically speaking, of course. And she'll offer up some tips for knowing when a video meeting could just as easily have been a voice call. That's after these headlines. We report exclusively that Google is close to settling an antitrust complaint in France. The suit, which hadn't been previously disclosed, alleges that Google preferenced its own online advertising auction house over competitors in its ad auctions. People familiar with the matter say Google is likely to pay a fine and make several operational changes as part of the settlement. They said the company would neither accept nor deny culpability. The settlement still needs to be approved by France's competition authority. If approved, it could be announced in the coming weeks. Google declined to comment on the case. In a statement, a spokeswoman said the company continues to make changes to better serve users and the wider ecosystem. In February, Facebook started banning posts that claim that the coronavirus was man-made or manufactured. Now, the social network says it's ending that ban. The news comes as governments and public health experts are calling for more investigation into the origins of the pandemic, including the possibility that the virus originated in a lab in China, a theory that China has repeatedly denied. Facebook's move is the latest case of the company struggling with how to regulate users' content, and it comes amid complaints from lawmakers, users, and its own oversight board that its decisions can be opaque and inconsistent. Earlier this month, Colonial Pipeline was hit with a ransomware attack that led to a six-day shutdown of the East Coast's biggest conduit for fuel. The incident sparked broader scrutiny of pipeline security and even pushed the Department of Homeland Security to prepare first-of-their-kind cybersecurity regulations for the sector. Now, the Journal's David Uberti reports that Colonial didn't undergo a requested federal security review of its facilities last year. Here's Dave.
Now, last year, when TSA requested access to some of Colonial Pipeline's facilities, Colonial said that it had COVID-19 precautions in place and instead offered a virtual review. You know, when I spoke to TSA officials, they told me essentially that because we are going into some of these facilities to check on equipment, to check on some of these critical functions that physical facilities within pipelines do, you can't substitute that with a virtual check. So the long and short of it is that this check never took place last year.
And Adam Neumann hasn't been the CEO of WeWork for 2 years, but he's still reaping some benefits. We report that Neumann got an additional stock award worth about $245 million from the company in February. People familiar with the matter say that the deal was part of a renegotiation of his 2019 exit package and was meant to help clear the way for WeWork to go public. Our reporter Elliot Brown has more.
So this is really kind of magnitudes larger than any sort of standard exit package for a CEO, particularly for a CEO who presided over a company that plunged in valuation when he was CEO, largely because of things he was doing as CEO. So I spoke with a corporate governance expert, a professor who studies these severance packages, and he said one of the most controversial ones ever was in 2007 to the Home Depot CEO, Bob Nardelli. And, you know, that was around like $200 million. And Adam is walking away here with, depending how you count it, like well over $1 billion.
All right, coming up after the break, the case for cutting back on video calls. That's next.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with. Listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Video calls have been a helpful tool over the past year, helping us communicate with friends and colleagues during the pandemic. But at what cost? Our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern argues that we've gone overboard on video calls and that it's actually hurting our productivity. She joins me now to make her case on a voice-only call, I should add. Hey, Joanna, thanks for joining me.
Hello, Amanda. It's so good to hear your beautiful voice.
Yours too. Okay, so I think we can mostly all agree that the constant video calls are exhausting and just generally bad. You know, Zoom fatigue is no joke. But there's actually some recent science behind this, right?
There is. And you're totally right. Video calling is not bad. Nonstop video calling is bad. And that is because there are some real cognitive tolls looking at the screen takes on us. And a couple of them have actually started to be proven out in science. Some researchers in Sweden, some researchers at Stanford have done a study where they've looked at people who have been on video calls all day. And what they found is that, one, we're looking a lot at ourselves. This is the mirror effect. And we're just getting really in our heads about what we look like. And there's a lot of self-evaluation and scrutiny. Two, it's a lot of close-up eye contact with others. And my favorite part about this is that one of the researchers I spoke to said that this kind of close-up contact makes us actually, our brains think either we're going to mate or we're going to fight, neither of which I want to do with my colleagues. Three, we feel trapped. We're sitting in front of our computers. We can't really move around. You can't get up and talk while you're, you know, sitting on a video call. It's exhausting to just listen. You're nodding a lot, and that just sort of the active looking and the active gestures that to make others on the call think, hey, I'm paying attention. I really agree with your point, or I do not agree with your point. That's exhausting. So all in all, it's tiring.
Okay, I'm on board. I want to limit the amount of video calls that I'm joining and that I'm organizing. How can people make the call, no pun intended, between video and audio? What should people take into consideration here?
Yeah, so I have just cut back on doing some of the recurring meetings in video. Exactly like I was saying before, these calls where you know that no one's really looking at each other. Maybe sometimes you toggle over, maybe you start the meeting and you're looking at each other. Those are just no-brainers. Those can just go to audio. And the way you can do that is by having a conversation with the people you work with. Just have the conversation. Don't take the whole awkward, well, I'm going to turn my video off. If you want to turn your video off, just have the conversation. Another thing that I think is a really good idea for people when they just want to make it clear, like, hey, I just want to do audio, is put it in a calendar invite. Say, hey, let's do an audio call at this time. And so I want to be clear, I have not cut out all video calling. In fact, I still think it's really important to do video calling for important conversations, one where you want to read the body language or the facial expressions of somebody. I do them with my boss for important conversations, things like performance reviews, where we're talking about something where I don't want to be distracted. Other times, though, audio makes more sense. And I love audio calls for the idea of just getting up and being free from your desk. I think a lot better when I'm actually moving and walking. So take your call with you. And that's the beauty of using just the phone or your AirPods. You could have your AirPods attached to your computer and walk around the room. Or you can do the voice call on your phone. And there's a lot of audio features that are already built into these video calling platforms.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I want to talk about some of the tech available for voice calls because, you know, sometimes an actual phone call just doesn't cut it. You know, service can be shaky or the quality isn't that great, which is a problem, especially if you're trying to do something like record a podcast on that call. What are some of the tech solutions out there?
Yeah, so if you're doing all the right things for video calls, you're on a good internet connection, you're near the router, then you're going to be fine for audio calls. You're really just eliminating the video part, which is actually the highest bandwidth part. On so many of these platforms, you just join the call and you turn your video off. On some platforms, you don't even have to turn the video off. It just doesn't turn on, like Slack. And I did reach out to all the main video conferencing apps for this story. And one thing that I did notice from what they were telling me is that they are doing a lot to combat the Zoom fatigue, quote unquote, even the companies that are not called Zoom. And the main thing that they're doing in that sense is they are giving the video conferencing interface a little bit of an overhaul, specifically the idea that you don't want to be looking at yourself, that mirror effect idea that I talked about before. So they're giving you the ability to sort of bring that smaller. They're giving you the ability to hide yourself. Microsoft is doing this thing where you sort of look like you're in the space. They cut out your head and put you in a conference room type thing. Slack, though, is really embracing audio. And I think it's really interesting because they're not really known as a video platform. They're really known for chatting, but they've seen a lot of growth in audio. People just sort of wanting to do the stop by your desk type of thing. Like, hey, I want to ask you a quick question. Do you have 2 minutes? Can I call you? And so they're using Slack for that. And so they're improving their voice quality on both their mobile and desktop apps. But they're also leaning into this idea of sort of joint or group conference call audio, a lot like Twitter Spaces or Clubhouse. And so they showed me a little bit of the interface for that. And that looks like kind of just a quick chat room thing. Like you can imagine like you're at the office and everyone just sort of jumps in and has a quick conversation and then just disperses. And they're trying to make the digital version of that.
Joanna, all of this is making me think about the future of working. You know, we're in an era where remote work is the norm. That's probably going to continue. And as that stands, there are a million different options for getting in touch with our coworkers. And now with these companies developing new services, maybe there's going to be more. Is there any end in sight here? Or is this just something we're going to be living with forever now?
I think we're going to be living with this stuff forever. And I think that this has all really shown us that digital does not replace the face-to-face communication. And I had a lot of response to this column, people saying, well, video is the best way to replicate the face-to-face. And I agree with that in some senses, but I also agree with the fact that we don't sit so close to each other in meetings, staring at each other directly in the eye, right? This does not actually give us the human connection. And so I think there's going to be tech that tries to get us closer to that human connection. And I think that's going to come in the shape of VR and AR, things we've talked about before on this podcast. And then I think there are going to be more solutions like this that are going to complement the in-person that is going to start to come back, the hybrid, that's like, hey, guys, remember we just used to talk on the phone and we'll see each other at the office in 3 weeks or 2 weeks, but those other meetings, why don't we just do them on the phone?
Yeah, and I think highlights the importance of these conversations about things like how we like to work and where we like to be contacted.
100%. And that's sort of where my column ended, is some companies are saying, hey, we want to embrace this. No Zoom Friday. Citibank is one of them. They're saying no Zooms, no video conferences on Friday, at least for recurring meetings with internal people. Others are just saying, hey, have a conversation with your team. See how they feel about it. And that's really what I wanted people to do with this column, which was send this column to people. Use this as a way to have a conversation starter. Same with this podcast. Send it to your colleagues. Have a discussion about how you want to talk to each other, because I'm pretty sure it's not video calling all day long with not actually looking at each other.
Yeah, you're welcome, listeners. All right, our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Thanks, Joanna.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. One quick note before we go, we are off for Memorial Day on Monday, but we'll be back in your feeds on Tuesday. Thanks for listening and have a great long weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.